Okay, so this is the Board of Accountancy, December 17th, the public session. It is now 1:30, and we have reconvened in public session. So I see Sherry, Amanda, and Jeff back in with us. Okay, so back to the motion at hand regarding a settlement proposal for case 18-007. We had a motion and a second, and we've had discussion. Is there any further discussion? Okay, so to vote yes to, oh, Scott, did you have something else?
Yeah, I'm sorry. So as I said, we are saying the any future investigation goes forever. Do we have a system in place to track that? Is board staff going to be able to deal with this if this person violates 10 years down the road?
Okay, so Anthony is shaking his head yes. Kimberly, did you have any comments on that? Okay.
As I said, I wouldn't want to get something in place and then we just lose track of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for a vote of yes to accept the settlement agreement, state aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is passed. Okay, and Anthony, you want to give us a rundown on 18-029?
I'll take that one.
Oh, Jeremiah.
18-029, there was a finding of violation of due professional care and disclosure of confidential client information. The terms that we reached, $4,000 civil penalty, $1,000 in costs, and state $1,500 in penalties and $1,000 in costs. $2,500 in penalties.
Okay.
I make a motion that agency case number 18-029 in the matter of Thomas Amsbury to accept the settlement agreement and stipulate the final order as presented to us.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, for a vote of yes to accept the settlement agreement, state aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is passed. Okay, case 18-032, and does that go along with 19-011, or are they actual separate agreements?
No, they are separate incidents.
Okay, so let's go with 18-032.
18-032 was a violation of peer review participation rules for not having a peer review performed in accordance with standards period in which the respondents were subject to those requirements. The terms we reached were $1,000 in penalties and $1,000 in costs, and then staying those costs for a net settlement of $1,000 in penalties.
In agency case 18-032, I make a motion in the matter of Paul W. Kingsland and the Kingsland Company PC. I make a motion to accept the settlement agreement and stipulated final order as presented to us.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, for a vote of yes to accept the settlement agreement, state aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is passed. 19-011.
19-011, there was a finding of a violation for due professional care for not obtaining or retaining assigned Form 8879. The terms were $1,500 in penalties, $1,000 in costs, stay $500 of penalties and the $1,000 in costs for a net penalty or a net settlement of $1,000 in penalties.
In agency case number 19-011, in the matter of Paul W. Kingsland and the Kingsland Company PC, I make a motion to accept this settlement agreement and stipulated final order as presented to us.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? Okay. For a vote of yes to accept the settlement agreement, state aye. Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is passed. Case number 19-012.
19-012, it was a violation or conduct resulting in a felony conviction. The terms we arrived at were a revocation of license, penalties of $5,000, costs of $2,000, and the entire amount of penalties and costs will be stayed.
I make a motion in agency case number 19-012 in the matter of Richard Perdue to accept the settlement agreement and stipulated final order revocation of CPA's license as presented.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion?
On this one, I'm kind of tying back to my earlier question. This does not have language in terms of if there's a future vote by the board, which would then unstay the penalties. Is there other sufficient language in the agreement, perhaps paragraphs 18 through 20 or whatever, that would allow us to unstay the penalties if there's not related to violating this particular case, but somehow we found this person illegally practicing accounting or inappropriately accounting, practicing accounting?
Abstaining from practice was part of the terms.
Okay.
So it was all encompassed in this.
Okay, so the length of my answer now, we'll deal with it as opposed to worrying about a future vote then. Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other comments? Okay, for a vote of yes to accept the settlement agreement, state aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is passed. 19-019.
So this one had to do with non-compliance with a previous order, and the settlement agreement calls for 1,000 civil penalties and 1,000 in costs that were out of state from previous order.
In agency case number 19-019, in the matter of Karen Matthews and Matthews Plus BC, I make a motion for finding, or I make a motion to accept the settlement agreement and stipulated final order as presented to us.
I'll second it.
Further discussion?
So did I read this so there's still another $500 that is still in a state position, is that correct? A penalty?
I'm not sure where you're referring to. Oh, where's that at?
Checking here. My math said there's still $500 outstanding someplace. Yeah, so, okay. Maybe my math. Check my math again here.
Is it old math or new math?
Okay, so the original order was for $2,500 the civil penalties. Board stayed. Never mind. My math is wrong. I'm doing it backwards.
Sorry. Nancy.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt, but can I clarify that this is for Catherine Matthews?
Yes.
Okay. I thought you said Karen, and so I just.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I mispronounce the name? Yeah, Catherine.
I just want to be clear that I was on the right.
No, my error.
Great. Okay. Any further discussion? For a vote of yes to accept the settlement agreement, state aye. Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions?
Yeah, Franco abstains.
Yep. Okay. So one abstention and motion passes. Okay. Case 19-021.
19-021, there were findings of violations for failing to respond timely to a client and for not filing the client's 2017 tax returns timely. The terms reached were $4,000 in civil penalties, $1,000 in costs, stay the $1,000 in costs for a net settlement of $4,000 in penalties.
In agency case 19-021 in the matter of Greg W. Harrison, I make a motion to accept the settlement agreement and stipulated final order as presented to us.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? For a vote of yes to accept the settlement agreement, state aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is carried. Case number 19-022.
19-022, they were findings of violations for due professional care and other professional standards with issuing projected financial statements without following standards. There was a violation for making misrepresentations not in the practice of public accountancy and for improperly using the CPA designation in conjunction with a non-public accounting business. The terms we arrived at, $15,000 in civil penalties and $2,000 in costs. Staying $10,000 of penalties and the $2,000 in costs for a net settlement of $5,000 in penalties.
In agency case number 19-022 in the matter of Teresa Jo Farrell, I make a motion to accept the settlement agreement and stipulated final order as presented to us.
I'll second the motion.
Any further discussion? Okay, for a vote of yes to accept the settlement agreement, state aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is passed. Case number 19-024.
So this settlement is actually for four cases. It's 19-024, 25, 26, and 27. These cases have to do with the employment of out-of-state CPAs or CPA firm. And this, the settlement calls for $10,000 in civil penalties and $2,000 in costs, and the $2,000 costs for state.
In agency cases 19-024, 025, 026, 027, in the matter of Deloitte and Touche LLP, I make a motion to accept the settlement agreement and stipulated final order as presented to us.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? Okay. For a vote of yes to accept the settlement agreement, state aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is passed. Case number 19-034.
Okay, so this case has to do with not filing extension for a tax return as requested. The settlement calls for $2,000 in civil penalties, $1,000 in costs, $1,250 of this civil penalty, $1,000 for state.
In agency case 19-034, I make a in the matter of Robert Leroy Armstrong, I make a motion to accept the settlement agreement stipulated final order as presented to us.
I'll second it.
Okay, any further discussion? For a vote of yes to accept the settlement agreement, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is passed. 19-035.
19-035, there were violations regarding auditing standards and due professional care for issuing two municipal audit reports with deficiencies. The terms we arrived at, $5,000 in civil penalties, $1,000 in costs, stay $2,500 of civil penalties and $1,000 in costs to arrive at a net settlement of $2,500 in civil penalties. Also 16 hours of CPE related to municipal auditing.
In agency case 19-035 in the matter of Stephen Hauscher, and Umpqua Valley Financial LLC. I'm making a motion to accept the settlement agreement and stipulated final order as presented to us.
I'll second it.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, for a vote of yes to accept the settlement agreement, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is passed. Case number 19037.
So this case was in regards to performing a compilation of engagements without a registered firm being able to review. The settlement agreement calls for 1,500 civil penalties and 2,000 calls. 1,000 of the civil penalty and 2,000 calls for staying.
In agency case number 19-037 in the matter of Dale A. Jenkins and Dale A. Jenkins, CPA PC, I make a motion to accept the settlement agreement stipulated final order as presented to us.
I'll second the motion.
Further discussion? Okay, for a vote of yes to accept the settlement agreement, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is passed. Case number
19-038. There were violations for performing attestation services prior to firm registration with the board and prior to being enrolled in a peer review program. The terms are $1,500 in civil penalties, $1,000 in costs, stay 750 of penalties and 1,000 of costs to arrive at a net settlement of $750.
In the matter of agency case 19-038 in regards to Judith Lynn Brewer and J.L. Brewer CPA firm, I make a motion to accept the settlement agreement stipulated final order as presented to us.
I'll second the motion.
Further discussion? Okay, for a motion of yes to accept the settlement agreement, state aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion's passed. Case number 20-004.
So this case had to do with non-compliance with the previous order and settlement agreement. Stay $2,000 in costs from the previous order.
In agency case 20-004, in the matter of Kevin Graham Berard, the Berard and Associates certified public accountants firm, I make a motion to accept the settlement agreement stipulated final order as presented to us.
I'll second the motion.
Any further discussion? Okay, for a vote of yes to accept the settlement agreement, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is passed. Case number 20-005.
For this one, there were violations of due professional care and reporting requirements for filing a client's tax returns late and for not timely providing notice of a lawsuit and settlement agreement to the board. The terms we reached were $25,000 in civil penalties and $1,000 in costs, staying the $1,000 in costs and $17,500 in penalties for a net settlement of $7,500 in penalties.
In agency case number 20-005, in the matter of Richard R. Harris and Richard R. Harris, CPA PC, I make a motion to accept the settlement agreement stipulated final order as presented to us.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? For a vote of yes to accept the settlement agreement, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is passed. Case number 20-008.
For this one, there was a violation of the registration of business organizations rules. They prepared and issued an audit prior to being registered in the court. $500 in civil penalties and $1,000 in costs, which was stayed for an estimate of $500 in civil penalties.
An agency case 20-008 in the matter of Lisa Shunson and Whalen and Company CPAs, Inc. I make a motion to accept this settlement agreement and stipulated final order as presented to us.
I'll second it.
Is there further discussion? Okay. For a vote of yes to accept the settlement agreement, state aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion has passed. Case number 20-009.
For this, there was a violation when Kaufman held out as a CPA by filing tax returns using his license number while lapsed. $4,000 in civil penalties, $1,000 in costs. Stay, $1,000 in penalties, and $1,000 in costs for a net settlement of $3,000 in civil penalties.
In agency case 20-009, in the matter of Wayne Stephen Kaufman, I make a motion to accept the settlement agreement and stipulated final order as presented to us.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? Okay. For a vote of yes to accept the settlement agreement, state aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion has passed. Case number 20-010.
In this case, the violation also related to filing tax returns with a lapsed license. The terms were $22,700 in penalties and $1,000 in costs, staying $17,700 in penalties and the $1,000 in costs for an net settlement of $5,000.
In agency case 20-010, in the matter of Bimba Ruth Valenzuela, I make a motion to accept the settlement agreement and stipulated final order as presented to us.
I'll second it.
Okay, any further discussion? For a vote of yes to accept the settlement agreement, state aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is passed. And our last one, case number 20-011.
The violation on this one was holding out as a CPA by performing public accountancy and filing tax returns under a lapsed license number. Terms are $1,000 in civil penalties, $1,000 in costs, suspending collection of $500 in penalties, and $1,000 in costs for a net settlement of $500 in penalties.
In agency case number 20-011, in the matter of William Everett Summers, I make a motion to accept the settlement agreement and stipulated final order as presented to us.
I'll second it.
Is there any further discussion? Okay, for a vote of yes to accept the settlement agreement, state aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion has passed. Whew, we made it through an item number 8. That was a long one. All right. Okay, item number 9, review of public board summary from September 17 through 18. Are there any comments? And is this, Angie, is this something that we need to vote on to accept? No. Okay. Okay, so unless there's any comments on that, I'm just going to move to the next item. Report of the OSCPA, Sherry.
That's going to be Jeff.
Jeff?
Dust report. I do have a question or a request to the board. It's very straightforward.
Okay, so.
Good afternoon, everybody. As you know, here we're sharing the cares today. I'm representing the OSCPA. I am the liaison with the Board of Accountants. Kind of a strange year to be the liaison, I won't lie. Because of the pandemic, all live activities, including CPE, have been converted to virtual starting back in March 2020. And at this point, we plan to keep it that way until the end of June 2021. Through my birth of the CPA available to CPAs in the area, and we recognize there's some that that's going to be a challenge. And we're looking forward to the time we'll be out for both in person and virtual. But we realize for some people, the virtual continues to be a challenge for them. And we know the board was helpful in assisting a lot of the licensees this past June, so we thank you for the assistance. We're hoping that we don't have some of those same issues in the coming year. As you well know, with everything going on this year between wildfires, pandemic, some of the issues, it's been an unusually busy year that hasn't seemed to stop this year. And as a result, we expect we're just going to roll into another tax season. For those of us that are tax people and for auditors, which is not really the normal typical break. Due to the pandemic, we made a decision to cancel the in-person 2021 Circle of Excellence Awards evening. For those not familiar, this has been held for many years, and it's where we recognize award recipients, scholarship recipients, new members, and recognize them for that achievement. Look forward to holding that again. We canceled the 2021 one, but we look forward to having that in 2022. And then touching on scholarships, our educational foundation will be meeting in March to award scholarships for the next school year. Since 1985, we've awarded over 2.3 million in scholarships to over 1,300 students planning a career as a CPA here in Oregon. And then members have recently approved the slate of new OSCPA board members for the 2021-2022 year, and that will be beginning April 1st. At that point, your new board liaison will be Tracy Allen with all your CPAs and advisors. Thank you for letting me attend, and happy holidays to everybody.
Thank you, Jeff. Sherry?
Thank you. Listening to the settlement agreements today and thinking about these through all of the prior board meetings that I've attended, there tends to be some things in here where people stumble. They could, keep themselves out of trouble with maybe more of a focus or knowledge on things. And thinking about that, some years back, the board wrote an article and we posted it in the Society magazine. Certainly, I would offer that up again. Be happy to post that in our e-news, in the magazine, some various places where people can just have that awareness, because I know people will call and they'll ask about the rules and or statute, and we'll point them out to the board's website, show them where things are, ask them to call the Board of Accountancy. But I'm thinking just some reminders for a few of these items, like, for example, peer review, where they're not, registered as a firm or registered peer review program. There might be some things proactively that we could maybe at least affect some positive preemptive approach on. So anyway, I just offered that up to you as a resource. It was very well received by the members last time. I know I had some positive comments. So I throw that out there, not looking for you to, commit one way or the other, but just offering that as an option. And we have various ways we can get that out of the virtual.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Sherry. Kimberly and I will meet on that off outside of this, and we'll get back to you on it. But I like the idea. Anytime that we can set folks up to be successful just benefits everybody. So definitely like that idea. Okay, does that conclude the report of the OSCPA?
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sherry. Okay, report of the OAIA. Amanda?
Hi, yep, so I'm Amanda Mills, the OAIA. And we have, it's kind of business as usual with the OAIA as much as possible. We have had a very positive response to our online seminars that we've done through this spring, or sorry, through the fall and the winter. And so we have also made the decision to keep everything completely virtual through the end of June. That's chapter meetings, seminars, and board meetings. And so I think when we will reassess kind of what the rest of the year looks like once we get through tax season, probably towards the end of May, and to determine what the second half of the year will look like at that point. I know we're also very anxious to get things back to in person if we can. So, and then we have some seminars and update seminars things coming up here in January. But that is what's going on.
Great. And thank you both to the OSCPA and the OAIA for joining us today. Okay, the next item is bittersweet to all of us. So we wanted to take the time to recognize Scott Wright's service on the board. And so effective this meeting, but we've been able to maybe extend him into February due to the appointment of new board members coming on. But we wanted to recognize Scott. Now, the biggest bummer of this whole thing is that we had to deliver Scott's cake to him at home, which means we don't get any. He gets the whole thing by himself. So I'm claiming foul on that, Scott. I am so disappointed. I was so looking forward to cake. So what I have here, and this is sealed, so I'm not going to open it, but can you see this okay? Is there maybe, you know, hopefully there's not too much shine on that. But this is with the State of Oregon crest seal here. We are presenting this to Scott Wright in appreciation of outstanding service to the people of Oregon and to the accounting profession as a member for the Oregon Board of Accountancy from 2011 through 2011 through 2020. And so, Scott, this will be coming to the mail to you, too. I am sorry that we did not get to physically hand it to you and celebrate with you here all, you know, collectively together. But I just, you know, want to say that through, you know, not just being on the board with you, which has been just a true pleasure, but, you know, all the work and the time that it was on the BOAC and your oversight and direction there as well. You know, this plaque does not really completely capture everything that you have done for the Oregon Board of Accountancy, and I just so appreciate the opportunity to sit beside you as a fellow board member. We are going to miss you on the board, but I know.
Questions.
Pardon me.
There'll be fewer questions.
Yeah, you don't know that. You know, someone's always looking to take your spot. So I'm sure that with the board members that we have remaining, someone is going to chime in there. But I just want to open it up to the other board members that if they want to say anything to Scott here, as this is his third term as a board member, he has seen so many cases and dealt with. With the good, the bad, and some definite ugly on this. And, you know, nine years is a really, it's a long time to dedicate to, you know, giving back to a profession that's been so good to all of us. And I just really appreciate Scott's leadership. He's also been very active with NASPA in representing the Oregon Board of Accountancy. And so I just want to open it up to see if anybody else would like to say anything here to Scott, and then we'll let Scott say a few words as well. Joe?
Yeah, thanks, Nancy. Scott, I just kind of wanted to echo Nancy's comments. It's been, you know, a pleasure working with you personally, both on the board and as the liaison on the BOAC. So I think you brought a lot of leadership to that committee as well. It's been a pleasure working with you and just really appreciate your passion to serve the profession.
Well, Scott, you've got some big shoes to fill, or you filled. Now we have to find somebody who can at least put their socks on before they... It's been a pleasure sitting next to you, giving me a lot of insight, even though I've been on the board a long time. You brought some new ideas that I really appreciated seeing, so what a fabulous guy you are. I hope everything goes well for you, that you can retire soon and get to that palm desert that you're... palm desert. If that's as close as you get, that's all right, but hopefully you'll get all the way there. So it's been working with you.
Thank you.
So as the public member, I wanted to just speak out and say how nice it was my very first meeting to see somebody that carries as much paper around as I do. Scott, it's actually been a wonderful pleasure to work with you. I've learned a lot about this profession. Being on the board, watching you interact, getting to go to the announcement meeting with you. So thank you so much from a non-CPA.
And being somebody who was introduced to the CPA profession by you, Scott, I really appreciate you helping me out when I first started out. Yes. And working with you, yeah, it's been a pleasure.
You're welcome.
Well, I love working with you, and we still get to work with Scott because he's going to come back as a BOAC committee member, so we need to keep him for longer. You guys won't get him to as often as we do, but always love working with you, Scott. You're a great guy.
Thank you.
Well, Scott, after all that, I don't know if I want to follow your footsteps.
Nice. Scott, I want to turn it over to you, see if you wanted to say anything here.
Sure, and thank you very much for those kind words, everyone. It's certainly been my pleasure and an honor to serve on the board, to serve the people of the state of Oregon, citizens of Oregon, to do the best I can do, whatever I can do to help improve the profession as a whole, and the oversight that this board has and my participation in that process. It truly has been an honor, and it truly has been a pleasure. I mean, there are times when it's been bad. There's been some cases that have drugged, but you know, in the long run, I've enjoyed the whole nine yards, the whole 9 years, I guess. But I've enjoyed it very much. I will also say that while we were around 10 o'clock today, I got a doorbell, ringed the doorbell, and I didn't check on it. But then I got the second time it rang, I went out and looked, and I could see there was somebody at the door, but I thought, okay, whatever, I'll just keep staying in my board meeting. Well, that was the delivery of the cake that they since called me and said I can come pick it up anytime after this afternoon up there open till 10 o'clock. So I haven't seen the cake yet. I know it arrived, but I didn't tear myself away from the board meeting to go get it. My loss, perhaps, on that. But again, thank you so much, everyone, for the kind words. It's been an honor and a privilege. And I'm not totally gone yet, but I've enjoyed it all. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you again, Scott. I'm just looking around here real quick to make sure that I got everybody's gave everybody an opportunity who wanted to say something, and I think I got everyone. So okay, all right. Well, thank you again, Scott, and I know we'll hear more from you. I just know we will. All right, item 13, report of the vice chair.
Yeah, no report this time. Thanks, Nancy.
Great. 14, report of the treasurer.
Guess what? You can't hear me again. I'm not done yet. So in your packet, in your materials, you have the 2019-2021 cash flow. A couple of quick comments on it. We are projected to be a little bit over budget on our revenue by about $20,000. It's interesting, our licensing and our licensing fees are actually been projected to be below budget, but investment and interest income is in excess, so that puts us to a positive, if you will, on that. I don't know what the the drop in licensing fees really means. I guess it's probably way too early to tell, but what is that a sign of something? Who knows? We're a little bit over budget on personnel and significantly under budget on service and supplies. So overall, we're about $80,000. We're planned to be about $80,000 under budget as compared to what was approved by the legislature. So beyond that, don't really have a lot too much more. We're heading into the homestead last 6 months to get the last figures in, but it was pretty good.
Good. Kimberly, can you comment on the change that we've made in the certificates and the cost savings there?
What Nancy's referring to is for several, well, forever since I've lived here, we've had all of our certificates hand calligraphered. And so we would ship them to the calligrapher, they would do their piece, and then they'd ship them back. We also, I don't know, maybe a year ago, got rid of the really big certificates and just did the 11 by 14s. And we're still having those hand calligraphered. And Julie's really the champion of this one. The people that do our renewals, it's called Eagle Printing, and they print all of our renewal applications and do the mail out. And they actually found a way to print our certificates, and they look like they're handwritten. They're beautiful. And Julie, do you remember how much we can you talk about what we used to pay our calligrapher versus our, yeah, versus our New Eagle bill?
Our last contract with our calligrapher, I believe, was somewhere around $10 a certificate, or $8, $9 a certificate.
Like,
I think the last invoice we got from Eagle to print the 249 that Nancy's signing today, and that Joe already signed, 249, was somewhere in the ballpark of $56. So, significantly.
Yeah.
And if you're local, we don't have the shipping costs, but we also have that flexibility to just run across town and pick them up, you know, not having things lost. So,
it is a human error because we have to go back and check every single one to make sure it was the license number, right? Is the date right? Did we spell the name right? Blah, blah, blah. So, it's been all over a great experience.
So that is really good news since so far in the 250 I've got assigned today, I've messed up two of them. And that's because Joel is talking to me and I cannot talk and write my name at the same time. So I just going to throw that out there.
I was just going to add, well, Julie, nice work, one on that. And then two, is there any way to potentially add our signatures electronically as well? I mean, speaking from a guy that's been icing his hand for a few days.
I'm sure they can do that. That would be more up to you whether you wanted that authorization.
Kevin? You have my authorization.
Hopefully we'll be able to be a little bit more timely with signing of the certificates. This is the biggest stack I've had to sign all at once, and it is daunting. When Kim gave me the packet this morning, I'm like, oh my God, I should have shown up last night to start signing all of these. So,
in my 9 years on the board, that was my biggest fear, was screwing up my signature on any certificates I signed. So I feel for you if you didn't have two of them, but that was always the biggest fear I had, is like, either the person's going to have to put up with this, or we're
going
to print a new one. I'm not sure which.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that it's on these and not the ones that were hand calligraphered, because I'd be feeling really bad, really bad. Right? I feel bad as it is, but then I'd be really bad. So great. So yeah, good job on that opportunity for cost savings. We should always be looking for those opportunities. So good change. All right. Report of the executive director.
I was again multitasking. You didn't touch on the appeals piece, did you, Scott?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, Scott. Go ahead. Or
let's talk about that real quick. So you'll remember at the last meeting we had, I had an appeal due like the next day.
Yeah.
And Scott helped me tremendously with that project too, which was super helpful. Jeremiah helped me a lot too. So between those two smart guys, we had a decent appeal meeting. It was online. Scott participated in that online group. It was really nice. They weren't scary. It was just like a casual conversation. It was nice. It was good. We did our spiel, and on November 4th, they sent me a memo, and it says, as a result of the budget appeal hearing for your agency, or governor actions to balance the budget, changes have been made to your analyst's recommended budget. The changes are specifically documented in the attachments. And in general, package 092 that represented vacancy savings reduction has been removed. The second one was package 093 that represented expense sweep has been removed. So we were looking at a very, very, very big fund sweep. And that's been from the analyst portion. They're not recommending that anymore. However, and our account, he was given a hooray, hooray too, but then he said there's just one more component, that's the Legislative Fiscal Office. They still need to review it and they could make changes. So there is one more piece to go through, but that won't be for a while. But I thought it was great. They also said, in addition to the changes I just told you about, that includes the, so there was a whole bunch of them that we appealed. One was the DAS assessments because they wanted like a 45% increase, which they gets passed on to all the agencies that they support. But they have to go through their own question cycle, and if they don't approve that 45%, which is something they didn't pay what they wanted either, it really starts with it. So we benefited from that. And then also on package 99, which pivoted adjustment, we have the state of Oregon is transferring to Microsoft 365. So we have to pitch in for that, which is fine. And the attorney general costs were adjusted as well. I don't have those final figures yet, because I don't think they probably have theirs yet either.
All right, good job, you guys, on at least making it through the appeal and a positive result of that. So Jeremiah and Scott and Kimberly, thank you for your efforts there. That's great news. So keep us posted. Yeah. Okay?
That's fine. Okay. So next is... Okay. So... So our licensing team, Julie, Stacy, and Ashley, did a virtual OSCPA, Anatomy of Licensure, Zoom meeting back in November. Did a great job. The three of them coordinate the topics, and they explain how to apply for the license, how to go through the exam process, how the application process goes. It was what, like an hour plus, Julie?
I just wrote in an hour.
Okay. So, a lot of good information that they provided and got some good feedback from their participants. During the 2020 renewal cycle, we had a full staff, which was nice. So many years we're missing one or somebody's on vacation or whatever, but we set our goals a little higher than we normally have because CPAs generally like to send the renewal out on June 30th, we get kind of bombarded in July and August. So what happens is when we review them and there's a problem, it goes to one person to send the letters, or we call them lobbying letters, and then we give them 21 days. So when we creep too much into August, we're going to go past the August 29th deadline to where we start last week. So our goal was to get all of the renewals processed by the first part of August, and then whatever letters that needed to be sent, we would have August 1st to August 15th. And then, anyway, it came out beautifully. It was a great experience. We renewed 3,442 actives, 322 inactives, 252 retired, and 310 voluntarily or because they have to be very healthy. We are spending some money. So we're saving and we're spending. We have purchased equipment for our conference room to be a full Teams meeting virtual room. So we purchased the mount for the TV and that's been installed. We ordered a TV that should be here sometime next week. And then we have we have a camera and a console where I don't know how it works yet, but they're going to do this. So it's going to be pretty cool to have that availability even when we get back together as a group, whenever that happens. We can still have the respondents come by, virtual, which is nice because, there are a lot of times where they're sitting in our lobby for an hour and a half because we're driving on an executive session and they're waiting. And maybe sometimes they don't even have anything to say, so they wait for an hour and a half for the show. So I think it'll be great. I attended the NASPA annual meeting. Did anybody else attend that from our board? I did. Okay, so let me tell you a couple things that they talked about. They talked a lot about the CPA evolution because that's kind of a hot spot right now. They're modeling some curriculum. They're going to have a model curriculum finished hopefully by June of 21, and they'll provide more detail on that. Exam remains the same in terms of testing at a 1 to 2 the beginning level of accounting. They're not changing the experience requirements at all. The exam remains a 16-hour exam throughout the 4 bus sections that they have to take. You can have the freedom of choice in terms of what discipline they want to take. So beyond the core accounting subjects, you can have an add-on. And I'm sorry, but I can't remember their names right now, the section names. But if you try one module and you fail, you can keep retaking it until you pass it, or you can skip around until you find the module that you can pass. Because of COVID and the exam, there were 2 blanket extensions for candidates. First were extensions for their notice to schedule so they could schedule out, when ProMetric testing centers went down in March. We had the first extension, Julie, correct me if I'm wrong, it was through June 30th, was the first one. Okay, and then, things weren't getting good enough by June because then we had all every other kind of thing going on. They extended it to December 31st of 2020. And we've adopted all of those. NASA did a great job in updating the gateway system around those protocols. But now it's December 17th. And that's getting really close to December 31st, so we're getting a lot of extension requests now. We are not granting any more extensions after 12/31 unless there's a very good reason. So I think I had 3 in front of me yesterday, maybe 4, and I denied 3 and only granted 1, and the only reason that one was granted was because he lives in Canada, and Canada just opened up a ProMetric testing center. So, that's been kind of interesting. And I was on a NASA director's meeting last week, and a lot of directors are seeing the same things. A lot of no real reason, but just wants an extension because, and so we're all kind of doing the same thing. It's not extending unless there's a service test. There was a lot of talk on accreditations of colleges and universities. They seem to think the highest of the AAC SB. They say they have a really strong validator of high quality curriculum. So we'll be learning more about accreditation. our agency looks at different accreditations from the transfers we get. If you're not familiar with them, look them up on the TIA site too. But there's a lot of information out there. NASA has said that they will be able to give us even more links to different places that we can validate that the colleges and universities are properly accredited. There's been a lot of talk where exam candidates are getting education and getting a lot of credits for not a lot of education. They come to talking about FEMA something, that they were getting college courses that really only took them maybe a month to get. So if you're looking into that, I'll keep us posted on that. In addition to extensions for exam, peer review deadlines were extended through June of 2021. I think that's right. It was originally planned to be due January. Any peer reviews that were due between January 1st, 2020 through September 30, 2020 got an extension through June 30th. Another great thing that they have done on pre-med, where we get all of our information on the peer reviews, the MSBA, they have added details in that website that really, really helps our office. They have now enrollment letters, date of enrollment, the original enrollment date, due dates, type of practice, all these things that we always wanted to get, and now we have our access to, so that's really great. And they put the extension in the website too, so we don't have to search the thing. Oh, did they get the extension or didn't they? So it's been a really good experience with that.
Thank you, Kimberly. And I was able to attend some of the sessions, just not all of them. I did the ones with the voting, and then their voting mechanism thing actually didn't work for me. So that's okay. I don't think that my vote was along with everyone else's. So nothing to worry about there. So. Right. Okay. Thank you, Kimberly. Did anybody have any questions for Kimberly? Okay. The next item up for business is old business, which is the hall inspection report.
What?
Hall inspection report under old business, item number 16.
Oh, hall. I heard you say something different. I'm like, I don't know what she's talking about. Okay, yes. Hall is inspector sent his first report. This is just for your information.
Okay. So there's no actions that we need to take?
No action.
Okay. Great. All right. The next item up is the qualifications committee. There's a meeting summary from November 18th of 2020.
That's just information only. Unless you have questions.
I have none. Looking around to their board members. I don't see anybody with their hand up. Okay. Item 18, ratification requests. So item A for CPA certificates and permits, is there a motion?
I make a motion to ratify the temporary permits, CPA certificates issued to the folks presented to us. I guess they used to be on the blue sheet, but now just white sheet.
Pink sheet.
I'll second that.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor, state aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion has carried. Firm registrations?
I make a motion to ratify the tentative firm registrations issued as presented to us, whatever color sheet it is.
I'll second it.
Okay, any discussion? All right, all in favor state aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is passed.
I make a motion to ratify the tentative license, tentative industry certificates and licenses as presented to us.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor state aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion has passed. And finally?
I am making a motion to ratify the admittance to the municipal roster of the applicants as presented to us.
Second that.
Any discussion? All in favor state aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion has passed. Okay, item 19, peer review. Informational, is there any questions? Okay, hearing none. The last item is just our announcements. Our next board meeting is February 11th, is that correct? February 11th, 2021. We voted on that this morning. And hearing no other, Julie, I see your hand up, go ahead.
On the revised club agenda, there was an item 3G. We recently had a meeting with NASBA, or, you know, an informational meeting from NASBA about the CPA exam remote testing. I'm happy to give you a recap of that, or I'm also happy just to put it in a memo format if you don't want to take the time today.
Well, why don't we just go ahead and take the time today so we can get that done?
Okay. So, the NASBA AFCP and Prometric are working to design a remote proctoring model that will provide the most security and assurance towards as possible, right? There's always a little bit, you know, that they can't control, but for the most part, they're developing a software program and a system around that that they'll use with remote proctoring, and they're keeping up with the latest cyber technology. They're trying to, they have a team that will look for like the latest and greatest in what people are trying to get away with. Each candidate will receive a link to perform a system check by email in advance of their scheduled appointment, and then they'll get that link again on their exam day. That will allow them to test like their internet, Wi-Fi connection, operating software compatibility, all of that, so they can be prepared. Perhaps even, you know, go sit in a different office if they need better Wi-Fi, whatever, they can make those arrangements. They're using ProProctor, that's the software. And so on the day of the exam, the candidate will log in with a launch code and password that's provided to them. ProProctor takes over their entire desktop and locks all of their applications and utilities, unless the part I wasn't clear on, and I'm sure we'll hear more, is like if you have ADA accommodations, for example, if there's another program that needs to run in the background, that would probably be isolated, but they would know about that and could see that happen. They are allowed to launch the exam within an hour before or after their scheduled appointment time to allow for, you know, disruptions in schedules that, you know, can't be avoided. The candidate, when they log in, they'll interact first with a readiness agent one-to-one. And that readiness agent will, they'll show their camera around the room so they can see, you know, any devices that are there. They'll have them show their, like, arms up to their elbows, legs up to their knees, have pre-moved watches, any of that kind of stuff. They do a thorough check there. And then they have them show their ID front and back, and they do all of those just to confirm they are who they say they are. Then the candidate gets passed to a remote proctor. That proctor can have up to 8 candidates at a time on their screen, but the software that they're using is also watching. So this proctor is watching for any visual abnormalities. You know, do they leave the screen? Are their eyes shifting, you know, in a way that indicates maybe they're looking at another device or a person? The software also monitors for voice. So if there was another voice in the room, they should hear that, or if, you know, speaking into an earpiece, something like that, and they're checking for those as well. If that remote proctor has any indication that something might be up, the system will actually log that and then that individual remote proctor will assign that candidate to a security monitor, and that security monitor, that's a one-to-one. In fact, you know, so it's not reviewing multiple people. All of this is recorded and it's kept for 30 days so they can go back and review. But that security monitor will then interact with, you know, by reviewing the video, watching the person, maybe even, you know, locking them out for a second, having them show the room again, or whatever it is they feel they need to do to be sure it's secure. And then when they will either at that point end their session, if it's determined that they're doing or that they can't determine, or they will clear them and send them back to the remote proctor. They have a few, I mean, they're working out bugs, of course, but they have that open audio channel, so voice communication is their primary, you know, way to interact, but they do allow for a chat between the proctor and the candidate, so if anything goes wrong there, you know, microphone issues like we've seen. They also, they're still working out how they will work with ADA accommodations. That's going to be stumbling block, of course. They did say, like, they have kind of tested internally, but like if a connection is momentarily lost, like a little Wi-Fi clip, then their session will continue. But if, you know, you were kicked off, like Nancy, you were kicked off this morning in our meeting, they would have to then log back in and go through the whole readiness process again before they can resume their testing to be sure they're not cheating. Working through things like that, they did say that they'll have agents around the world that are either contractors or employees of ProMetric, but that they're taking advantage of, you know, they're going to offer testing 24/7 or what seems like close to 24/7. So they're taking advantage of availability of proctors. So worldwide, they always have floor managers that are overseeing everything that the proctors are doing. So if a proctor had a Wi-Fi issue or an emergency, those floor managers would then move the candidates, you know, to other proctors so that there's no gap. Plus, it's still being recorded while all this is happening. Their biggest concern right now, or at least that they were expressing to boards, is that they wanted us to know that they're still working on how to work out accommodations. That'll be a tricky thing. They are limiting to domestic IPs only at this time and banning any foreign IPs until the security issues could be worked out. But with that domestic IP, if you were an Oregon candidate, you could still travel to New Jersey, maybe instead, you know, from your family or visiting your parents or whatever. Their other concern is that they really need buy-in from the boards, at least initially. Because if boards of accounts are not going to accept, well, okay, so I skipped ahead, sorry. They're going to start with pre-testing, which they're doing, you know, working on. They'll then go into an internal user testing process. Then they'll open up to like a friends and family testing. They said that time period could include somebody from each board, such as a chair, so that they can gain comfort before they open up to a pilot testing with real candidates. But their concern is they're moving through this, they really need buy-in from the boards, because once they go to this pilot testing with real candidates, if the boards aren't willing to accept the scores from remote testing, then it just isn't going to work. So that's a discussion for our board to have as well as every other board. And then, you know, if there are any concerns that the board brings up, they would certainly want to hear those back. And I'm sure that can go back through Kimberly. They did want to assure everybody that while their goal is to move forward, they do not have the capacity to turn on remote testing today or even tomorrow. So they're looking to educate and get support as they're moving through, but it wouldn't be immediate.
So how do we express support for that? Do we need to write a memo, a letter, just send them an email? Like, what do we do here?
I guess first of all, I want to know from you all what you think about remote testing. When I first heard about it, I thought it does not sound like a great idea. You know, I keep thinking like, oh, what kind of weird virus are they doing? I know they're really looking hard. required as a certain software for especially people taking them in countries where they can. We don't have to sign into it. I don't, at this point, I don't know that we have the need. I don't think there's a whole lot of states that have jumped on that bandwagon more likely to be more remote locations where they have, you know, there's less opportunities for that. So it's kind of a lot. I mean, Julie did a great job, you know, giving you the high level and some of the gritty details, but there's a lot there that we'll need to kind of consider if we want to do that. Jeremiah's had a CPE or a training that he puts in the virtual remote. So, kind of explain the same thing where it's, you know, here's this, I don't know. And go along with your camera showing up real and stuff, but it just seems kind of weird, but I might be old fashioned, so maybe I should get up at the time.
Well, I think there's two separate issues. One is what you said, Kim, we don't necessarily have to accept remote testing, or we can accept, I think, state by state, we could say, like, right now, or, you know, during our wildfire season, right, when we had turmoil, we could say, from this state to this state, we'll accept remote testing in Oregon, and then they could flip a switch and turn it back off, and so that could be regional. But the other issue that they were bringing up is just whether or not we would accept scores. So if somebody transferred in scores and then they were taken through a remote testing process, would we accept those? So I think they're looking for feedback at some point on both of those things.
I guess my comment is I think it's the whole move to virtual offices, everything, virtual board meetings. I think it's something that's coming down the road, and it's just a matter of, are there enough safeguards being put in place? It's going to happen. States can stand their own and say, oh, we're not going to accept it, but I think eventually it's going to get there. So it's really a matter of buying into the process at some point, but hopefully in understanding all the safeguards they have built in, because there will be people who try to figure out how to tweak the system, cheat the system, whatever you want to call it. That's just the way life is. But I'd say it's coming. It's got to be dealt with.
Yeah, Scott, I agree with you. You know, it was funny because I at work I had the participated in a presentation, and it was on the movement of technology, and they made a reference back to when elevators switched over, where you could go into the elevator and push the button yourself, but because people didn't have confidence in it, they continued to have the elevator operator for a period of time because people just couldn't accept that they could actually push the button themselves. Right, and then we finally got to that spot where we no longer needed the elevator operator. We can push the button ourselves. But now today, we wouldn't even think of having an elevator operator, right? I think Scott said it really well, is that, you know, the change in time is coming, and I think that we need to be open to this. It might be uncomfortable, but Julie, I think some of the things that you described help me feel a little bit more comfortable about it. And what I would say, I mean, if you have to have something right now, I would say that we're open to learning more about this process. We wouldn't shut the door to it. I don't think we can shut the door to it, quite frankly. So I think that Joe, you got your hand up. Go.
Sorry, Nancy, I was just trying to get your attention, not to interrupt you, so I apologize. But one, yeah, I mean, I agree with what you and Scott are saying. And then two, I was going to see if everyone didn't mind, I think we're done voting, if I stepped out a few minutes early today. I thought we were going to be done, and I was like, oh, I have a chance to get to a 3 o'clock appointment that I'm hoping to get to, so if you all don't mind, I'll step out. Have a
thanks, Joe, and happy holidays.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. So, you know, I think Julie did a great job of describing some of those controls. You know, the reality is that when we were all taking the CPA exam down at the state fairgrounds, people cheated then. Right, you had proctors, you couldn't go to the bathroom without, you know, someone, a proctor in the bathroom, and you had to have a see-through baggie. But the reality is people still found a way to cheat. Doesn't matter what the mechanism is, there's always going to be that group of people who are going to be the cheaters, and there's no ironclad system. What it sounds like is they're trying to take every precaution that they can think of to make sure that this is a fair, true, you know, exam of a person's knowledge, or should I say their ability to take the CPA exam, not necessarily, you know, knowledge. So I think we have to be open to it. So Julie, we're looking forward to hearing more.
I want to just toss out there, I haven't asked him. I'm volunteering my husband. He went through the PFS process through the AICPA and had to go through all his testing via Prometric. So if you want to hear what it was like from the test taker perspective, and yeah, having your retina scanned and watched it, all of that stuff about where you're looking, what you're looking at, showing you your calculator, you know, I'm certain he would happily talk to you guys about it, just kind of from the test taker's perspective, what that looks like.
I think that would be really helpful.
Are you doing the retina scan?
Yep. Yeah, it watches your eyes. Yeah. Take your glasses off, show it up to the camera to make sure you don't have Google goggles on it. Yep.
In their demonstration, they showed that the computer system or the proctor would actually record before an individual proctor said anything. It would record any unusual eye movements, any if you moved off the screen, you know. So if I was reaching for something and I was off the screen for more than a couple of seconds, I mean, it would record that.
Cool. You know, I mean, we're going there, people. You know, if I can do my doctor's appointment and everything, you know, virtually, I think it's everything is going virtual. So, so we need to be open to this. And Deanna, if your husband was willing to come and chat with us, I would love to hear more about it. I think that one of the things that would help us all is to just gain comfort that, you know, there are controls in place and that, you know, that it would catch somebody cheating. You know, is it going to be ironclad? No. But
yeah, but I will tell you, he had a rough experience with his last exam that it wouldn't recognize him. And, you know, you're preparing for the exam, you're about to go, you're already nervous, and it would, whatever they used to identify you, it was having a problem. So, nice way to start an exam.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, nothing to make you a little bit more nervous, right?
No.
So, okay. So thank you for that update. Any final items for us to discuss? If not, I'm going to adjourn our meeting for today. So looking around the room, it doesn't look like there's anything more. Again, Scott, thank you for all your service. You're going to be missed on the board.
Thank you.
All right.
I'll miss you guys too.
Yes, you will. All right. Thanks, everyone, and have a good holiday.
Thank you.
See you all, you guys. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.